Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We're a church in Gahanna, Ohio that exists to help people find and follow God. We hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and helps you discover how much God really loves you.
Good morning. My name is Lisa, and I am so thankful that I get to call Three Creeks my home church. And I'm so thankful that we all get to be together today to kick off our new series. And a few months ago, when our pastor Joel asked what I'd like to speak and what topic would I like to speak on, I was a little bit overwhelmed because there's a lot of topics in the Bible. But he wisely followed up with a question. He said, well, what do you think our church needs to hear? And that really made me pause. And I went and took that seriously and I prayed for a few weeks. And when the Lord told me the Holy Spirit, I proceeded to pray for a few more weeks. Because this topic, it makes me a little nervous. It's a big topic. And it can take weeks. We could spend weeks and weeks and weeks on this topic. But we only have this Sunday. And another reason it made me nervous is because the Holy Spirit, people have a lot of different experiences or no experiences or a lot of different preconceived notions about the Holy Spirit, and it can swing in a wide spectrum. So some people have experienced the Holy Spirit where honestly it's been exploited and abused and it's gone mystical and magical and wonky. And then on the other side, you have people that don't even know who the Holy Spirit is because we have churches and places that quiet him and push him under the rug because he's a little bit hard to understand. And in that way, he has been dubbed the forgotten God or the neglected God. And so people don't know what to do with him. And I believe the Bible, God, and our church wants to meet right in the middle and have a really healthy awareness and understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and how to interact with him more. And I think that the Lord put this on my heart is this is our topic, July 12th, this is the topic, Holy Spirit, because the more we know him and the more we understand him and the more we interact with him, our faith is ignited. It becomes alive. It becomes exciting. It just gets elevated. And my sister put it really the best for me when we were young in our faith. She said, I felt like my faith story, my faith journey was like a black and white movie. And once I got introduced to the Holy Spirit and I started interacting with him, boom, it became a movie full of color and alive and vibrant. And I believe that's what God has for us today. As we taste and see, we can see our faith can be more colorful and ignited. So to help us tackle this really big topic this morning, we're going to follow a pathway of ease because I like alliteration, and it'll be behind me. We're going to explain the Holy Spirit. We're going to see how he engages us, how he empowers us, and also how we can experience him more. So before we start, I would love to pray. Father, you are a big God, and you have so much more to show us. And so much more than we can even ask or imagine. So I pray right now, God, that you just quiet our hearts. You open our eyes, you open our ears. You help us be ready and willing to receive what you want to show us this morning. Because I believe it is going to just blow our minds. God, you're just that big of a God. So ready us our hearts and take this time. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's jump in. The first E, explain. We're going to anchor that in a verse in John 14, 16 through 17, in which Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And it says, and it'll be on the screen behind me, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Okay, so as just mentioned, this is Jesus' words, and he's talking to his disciples right before he's about to die on the cross. And they're pretty clueless. They don't know this is coming. They don't understand all that's happening. But in some of his final words, he's trying to set them up for success, and he's trying to help them understand what's going to be happening. He's saying, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send another advocate to help you. I love when you go into the original language because it helps highlight and gives us a little more clarity. That word another can have a lot of different definitions, but in this verse, another means exactly the same, okay? So another helper exactly the same like Jesus. So in our faith, we have a concept called the Trinity. We do not have time to get into all of that today. But what I hope you understand is it's one God in three persons. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are one in essence. Okay, and we see that played out many times in the Bible, but here in this verse as well. So we have the Son asking the Father to send us his Spirit, but they're all of one essence, all right? And so he's saying this one, I'm Jesus. I'm in temporal time and space. I'm here, but I'm going to be dying and leaving. But don't worry, I will be sending the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit, this Godhead is going to be with you forever and will help you. He's not going to be leaving, all right? And that happens to them in the Old Testament. After Jesus dies, the Holy Spirit comes on those believers in a powerful way. Today, we receive the Holy Spirit when we believe. You're not born with the Holy Spirit. You haven't always had the Holy Spirit. It's when you put your faith and belief in God, that's when we receive the Holy Spirit. And to help our human minds get our heads around it a little bit more, the Bible gives us a few analogies, and he calls the Holy Spirit very often wind or breath. And if you think about that, wind or breath can't be seen. Just like in this verse, it says the world cannot see him. We cannot see him, but we can feel the effects of him. He is invisible, and yet he is powerful, all right? I also want to highlight in this verse that it says the world does not know him and see him, but we can know him. The Holy Spirit is a person. I'm going to repeat that because it's very important. The Holy Spirit is a person. I know he's labeled the Holy Spirit, or in this verse, Spirit of Truth, but he is a person. And because he's a person, we can know him. We can know him. He's going to be with us. He's also going to be in us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Godhead dwells within us, and that is the Holy Spirit. If you notice the pronouns, they're all he or him, and then also refers to he is a person, all right? All right, we're gonna move on to our next E, engage. So we're gonna stay in the same chapter of John 14, but we're just gonna move a few verses down. Jesus is still speaking. He's still telling us about the Holy Spirit, and it says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you everything I have said to you. So a big way we can see here that the Holy Spirit engages or interacts with us is he's our teacher. Okay, he knows all things, we do not. Okay, he teaches us. He reveals to us who God is and what God's truths say. Okay, he can teach us all things, but he specifically is around God, helping to reveal who God is, all right? And I wonder if you've ever experienced this, but when you're reading the Bible and you're reading, we don't know everything in the Bible, but as we're reading and trying to understand, a word might pop out at you or a concept, and you're like, oh, I get it. Like, oh, that is just like clicking, right? And that happens because the Holy Spirit is actually interacting with you on a personal level. Like, you don't know that, let me show you, okay? Or maybe you've heard a message, like a sermon or a podcast, and something just pierces right into your heart, and you're like, oh, I get it. Or, oh, that is really close to home. That's me, that's my situation. This is teaching me in the exact place where I'm at. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. I encourage you to memorize scripture, because when you memorize scripture and you just tuck it in your heart, it's really cool how the Holy Spirit will bring it out, bring it back to you, maybe even years later, in the exact situation you're in, it applies. Boom, that's what you need for this situation, or that's what you need when you're talking to this person. It's really cool. So the Holy Spirit is very interactive and engaging God in a very personal and unique way. I love, too, that in this verse, he is called an advocate, and it's capital A, because this is his name. And when I looked at the definitions of advocate, wow, there's so many, and they're so rich and beautiful, and they describe the Holy Spirit. So the main description or definition of advocate is a helper, which we're seeing in these verses. He is a helper that's with us, again, forever, but he is a helpmate. He provides us assistance or support in any areas that we need in life. Another definition is counselor. You think about a counselor, if you go and speak with a counselor, you're seeking out wisdom, right? To know, hey, should I do this or should I do this or should I say this or not say this? Which way should I go? The Holy Spirit is a counselor, deep and personal within you and your heart and your situations, to say, this is the way you should go, walk in it. All right? Comforter is another definition. Oh, I love this one. The Holy Spirit comes and comforts us with a deep peace that is not of ourselves. It is Holy Spirit power. It is supernatural. Have you ever been in a situation that's just hard? That's just hard. And it's just, I'm going to get through this. And it is not a peaceful situation. And yet as you pray and you interact and engage with the Holy Spirit, He just brings you this peace that is just, comes over you. I've heard people describe it as a warmth or like a deep assuredness underneath the circumstances. I find it's almost like an anxiety blanket that comes over me and just calms me down, right? Or maybe you've seen that with other people. Like, they're going through difficult, heart-wrenching situations, and you're like, how are they getting through that with peace? Well, that's Holy Spirit peace, and this is the way that He can engage us. Another definition is encourager, or I love this one, defender. If you think about, if you have an advocate in the court of law, that advocate comes beside you and builds a case for you and against lies that are coming towards you, right? The Holy Spirit is our defender. He is constantly coming saying, this is the truth of God, and I'm defending you from the lies of the world that are coming at you, the lies of the evil one that are coming at you, and even the lies that we create and play out in our heads. He's saying, no. This is the truth, and I am your shield, and I am going to defend you. That is another way that the Holy Spirit engages with us. And why? Why does He engage us in these personal and unique ways? It's because He is the one that is moving us to look more like God, okay? I love Galatians 5:22-23. It is a description of the fruit of the Spirit. This is what He is about. This is who He is and how He's moving us to look more like Himself. So it says in Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, patience, or in this verse it says forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the Holy Spirit working in our lives. This is how He engages us. And it is Him and by His might that He moves us to look more and more like Him. He's the one that regenerates us from life to death and then helps sanctify us and change us to look more like God. And as He does so, and as we participate with Him in these ways, our faith ignites. It is like, whoa, you're alive and you're active and you're working in specific, powerful ways in my life, and your faith just, boom, technicolor, bright, vibrant colors. It is an increase in your faith as you engage in the Holy Spirit. Let's keep going. Empower. Empower is the next way that the Holy Spirit works with us. And embedded in that word empower is the word power, okay? The Holy Spirit is a mighty power. And Jesus is continually talking with us here and telling us in Acts 1:8 that when you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And why? So that you may be witnesses to the end of the earth, witnesses of who God is. Okay? He was telling His disciples this, and this happened after He left and resurrected and went back to heaven. They're huddled and they're scared, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes with power, violent wind and fire, it says. You just, boom, descend on them and fill them. And they are filled with power, not of their own. And it says, and it's recorded in the Bible, as they are filled with power, they go out, these new believers, these early believers, and they perform signs and wonders and miracles, and they heal people from their sicknesses. They actually raise people back from the dead, back to life. And the Holy Spirit works with them in powerful ways. He gives them visions. He gives them dreams. He speaks audibly to them, and He directs them, go this way. Speak, teach in this way, things that they didn't even understand yet. They're just preaching. It's like amazing how when the Holy Spirit indwells in these new believers, they are just have power that is not of their own. It is God's power. And this is crazy. Holy Spirit power is all through the Bible, but it's not just back then. It's the same Spirit for us today, if you believe. That same power is inside you. God's power is inside you. I'm going to repeat that. God's power is inside you. If you have the Holy Spirit and you're a believer, that same power exists in you, and he wants to empower you. And why? Why does he want to empower us? Because I believe, and I know, God wants to show up, and he wants to show off. He wants to show up in our lives, and he wants to show up that others may see him and know him. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says, Paul's saying, I didn't come with these beautiful words and eloquent ways. I actually came with fear and trembling. I didn't come with human wisdom. I came with God's power so that your faith not might rest on my wisdom, but on the demonstration of God's power. God wants to show up, and he wants to show off that we may know him more and that others may know him more. I've experienced this great power in my life multiple times. And let me tell you, it is not of me. I'm not manufacturing it. I'm not conjuring it up. I'm not performing it. There are times when the Holy Spirit just booms out of me and I'm like, ugh! Like it's almost scary, but it's cool. And my faith is colorful and alive when I see it. I think for me, one of the most phenomenal times was when I was in Africa. And I was speaking and teaching at a conference. And because I don't speak their language, I had two translators. One on this side who's speaking Swahili and translating what I was saying to Swahili. The other one spoke Laul, which was the tribal language of that area. And I felt as I was starting to get ready to talk, this energy, this vibrancy inside me. And I'm like, okay, God's doing something. So I just started speaking. And as I spoke, I saw and I felt translucent waves coming off of my body into the crowd. That is not of me. And I stopped and I looked over at the Swahili translator and I felt and saw, as she translated, translucent waves come off her body. And as it hit the crowd, those of the Swahili speaking people, I saw their physical reaction. They rocked back, their eyes got wide, and tears started coming down their face. And I looked over at the Alul translator and I saw the waves come out of her body. Boom. Hit that half of that crowd and same physical reactions happening. I'm like, what is happening? And all I could think was, just keep talking, just keep talking. So I just kept talking. Waves, waves, waves. They just kept crashing. They just kept crashing to the crowd. And that was God's Holy Spirit power enlightening, illuminating, and allowing us to understand God and see God. That's craziness. And that is not my craziness. It's God's cool craziness, right? It's God at work. And I've had a lot of those experiences, not because I'm special and not because I'm a super Christian. It's because I have the Holy Spirit and I'm just participating with him and I'm letting God move and I just get to be part of it. And my faith gets ignited with it. And it can be those crazy experiences, but it's not just in Africa, right? It's here. It's here with us, and it happens in the everyday. Another example is on Sundays, I come in here, I usually come in here in a place where I'm focused and worshiping the Lord through song, and I often ask the Lord, as I'm looking around and praying for people, God, who would you like me to speak with after service? Again, not because I'm awesome, because I'm trying to participate with the Holy Spirit. And as I'm praying and I'm worshiping, almost every time, he'll pop someone out to me. I feel it and I see it. It's almost like a 3D sticker or a 3D hologram. It just kind of boop. And I'm like, okay, that's the person. And it's usually awkward because I've never met them before. Okay? I know a lot of you, and there's a lot of people I don't know. And so I just will continue worship, listen to the message, and afterwards, I'll go talk to that person. And it is usually awkward. It's like, hi, my name's Lisa. What's your name? How long have you been around Three Creeks? That's my standard line every time. And I kid you not, 90% of the time, the people or the person will be like, oh, this is my first time here at Three Creeks. And I'm like, I knew it, God, because you do this all the time, right? And it's fun. But I think what God is trying to do with that, I know what he's doing, is he's saying, it takes a lot of courage for a person to walk into the setting and not know anybody just because they want to know God more. And I think what God's showing them, which is a warm welcome, is God's saying, I see you, and I care about you, and I'm really glad you're here. And I just get to be part of the Holy Spirit in that. And if it's not someone new, the other 10% of the time, it's someone I know and they're going through something very specific, and we pray together about it. And again, that's not me and my awesomeness. It's not. It's God's awesomeness. And I just get to have a little bit of part of that. And I hope you felt that too, where the Holy Spirit just lays someone really thick on your heart and you're like, I should reach out to them. I should call them. I should text them. I should go serve them in a very specific way. I should go tell them about the good news of Jesus. This is God in working in you and empowering you to enjoy and participate with him, that you may know more and that others may know him more. And it is that same power he might be putting in you. Go love that person that's hard to love by my power. Go forgive that person that's hard to forgive. My power. It's his power. It's not us. It's him empowering us. And we just get to have a more vibrant and colorful faith because of it. Another way that he empowers us, and this is really cool, is the Holy Spirit gives to us each a unique set of spiritual gifts and then empowers us to go use them. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I don't have time to go over that whole chapter, but I encourage you to go read it because that's a good place in the Bible that tries to capture what the spiritual gifts that you have look like, okay? It tells us, in that verse, or in that chapter, in verse 27, that you are the body of Christ if you're a believer, and you have a part in it. And it tells us the Holy Spirit distributes each of our gift sets exactly how he wants them. You get your own set. You don't get to choose them. He chooses them for you. And then he says, figure them out and go use them. And there's a whole bunch of spiritual gifts. Again, I don't have time to go over all of them. There's prophecy and evangelism and teaching and care and wisdom. There's so many. But a quick AI search, you can have them all at your fingertips and you can have all the definitions of them. Go seek them out. See how you're wired. See how you're bent. See what makes you alive when you use the gift sets. Because this is an indication of how God's using you and wants to use you. And it says, we as the body of Christ, as a church, are like a body. And so each of us has our part to play. So your spiritual gift set, you might be the arm, okay? I might be the kneecap. Someone might be an ear. Someone might be a mouth. And we're not to envy each other's gifts. It's not like, man, I want to be the foot, but I'm the elbow. You're the elbow because God wants you to be the elbow, right? And it also tells us, as a body of Christ, don't just not use your gifts. Because if you just not use your gift, you're actually hindering the body. So if I woke up this morning, my hand's just like, I don't want to cooperate, sorry. It's like, I need you, right? We need each other. We all need to activate these gifts because then we're a complete, healthy, active body. It's really fun when you're empowered in this way, when you figure it out. For me, my spiritual gifts, I've had to learn over time, okay? I've been with the Lord for over 30 years, which makes me old, but also just shows me that it's taken time to get to know my spiritual gifts and to use them and see them in the power of using them, okay? I'm a teacher. I'm an encourager. I have faith, okay? I'm a shepherder, which means that is the gift of pastor in the Bible. I'm not the role of a pastor, but I care about the spiritual condition of people's souls and I want them to know God more, okay? I also have the gift of knowledge. And that one is when the Holy Spirit reveals things to me that I do not know of myself. And it is for my faith, to bolster my faith, specifically in areas that I need, or to give to someone else in areas that they need, that they may see God more. And that, for me, The gift of knowledge comes in visions. God will literally stamp a vision on my head, and I know it's not mine because it comes with light, boom, and it is not something I would think of. Sometimes it's really out there visions. I'm like, ah! And then sure enough, it applies exactly where I'm at, or it applies exactly for where someone else is at. Another way this gift of knowledge is shown in my life is through words. So God will stamp a word on my heart. It's like a branding, like it's like seared on me. It doesn't hurt, but it feels like, boom. I'm like, that's not me. That is the Lord. And I will look and I will wait and see, is that for me or is that for someone else? And he'll reveal it to me. And it is igniting and it is powerful when that happens because again, boom, it's the Holy Spirit that's alive and active in our lives. So it takes again a while to figure out these spiritual gifts. And when I was young in my faith, that specific word of knowledge, that was crazy for me because I'm hearing words and I'm like, I don't know if this is me or the Holy Spirit, right? So very young in my faith, I had an acquaintance, and she wasn't a close friend, she's an acquaintance. And we're in our young 20s, and she was going through a divorce, a young 20s, barely married, really difficult situation. And I would pray for her. And every time I prayed for her, I heard the word valuable, valuable, valuable. Go tell her she's valuable. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, that's really weird. Like, I'm not gonna go and be awkward and be like, I think the Lord told me that you are valuable. It's like, I'm not doing it. So the Lord kept repeating to me, he is so patient, for months, 4 months. And finally, I'm like, fine, I'll tell her she's valuable. And I had some time with her, and it was awkward. I stumbled and bumbled all over my words. But when I finally said, I think God's telling me you're valuable, as soon as I said that word, she started sobbing, just sobbing. And she said, that is the core issue that I'm dealing with. Am I valuable? And if God thinks I'm valuable, I have hope. I have hope. Her whole mindset switched. Her circumstances didn't switch, but her whole demeanor switched. She stood up and she walked through that with the Lord. And I just was brave enough to say it, and then I got to experience it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I heard the Holy Spirit, and oh my gosh, the Holy Spirit worked in her life. And we were both ignited into vibrant, colorful faith. And that is what God wants to do. He wants you to figure out your skill sets, your spiritual gifts, and he wants you to use them. And if you already know them, go use them. Go use them. If you don't know them, figure them out. Go use them. It is a wild, fun ride to be with the Lord in this way. We're moving to our last E, experience. Okay, experience. I want to bring back to light that the Holy Spirit is a person. And because he's a person, the way we experience him more is we go into a deeper and deeper relationship with him. All right? And I want to pause for just a moment, because as mentioned earlier in this message, it is when you believe that you receive the Holy Spirit. And that time of belief is actually a time of commitment. It's actually a specific time and place. Again, you're not born with belief, you're not born with the Holy Spirit, or it's just like, I've always believed in God. Nope, there's actual time and place where you put your belief in God. And when you do so, that's when you receive the Holy Spirit. So some of you may be in a place where you're unsure. I don't know if I've ever had that commitment. Or I really don't know if I've met the Holy Spirit. I don't know if the Holy Spirit is inside me. In a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you so choose, with some a guided prayer, to just let you make that time a commitment, if you want. Before I do so, I just want to explain that in the Bible, it tells us that we have all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. And what that translates into is we've all messed up and we've all gone against God, and our offenses, our sins have separated us from him. But God so loves us that he doesn't want us to stay in that state of separation, so he does something about it. He sends Jesus to come on our behalf, and Jesus lives our life and he dies our death, and he takes the punishment of our sin. And as he takes the punishment of our sin, we get forgiveness, which is a crazy exchange. But as we receive forgiveness and we are made right with God, then we are reunited with him, and we get to experience a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. And so if you claim that and you believe that and you want to make this time a commitment, then in a moment, you can repeat after me. It's a repeated prayer. And you can say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. It doesn't matter. It's just the belief that matters. So if we'd all bow our heads in respect, and if you want to repeat after me, you're more than welcome. God, I know that I am a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I believe in you and that you sent Jesus on my behalf to pay for my sins. I commit my life to you and put my faith in you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit to guide me. Amen. If that was your first time praying that prayer and that was a time of commitment, you now have the Holy Spirit. And you'll be introduced to him and you can continue to get to know him. And if that happened for you today, please tell someone, because we want to support you and continue to help you know him more, okay? If that just happened for you through the Holy Spirit, or you know you've had the Holy Spirit, you know you had that time of commitment, whether you barely know him or whether you've been walking with him for years and have experienced this dynamic relationship with him, wherever you're at, we can all experience the Holy Spirit more. And how, again, he's a person, and as we spend time with him, we're going to deepen our relationship with him and we get to experience him more. And I think what's helpful for us, if we look at our relationships, our healthy relationships, there are a few markers that help us know how we get closer and how we spend time well. And we can apply some of those same concepts to the Holy Spirit. So very quickly, I got 3 R's for you. Again, I love alliteration. Respect. In healthy relationships here on earth, there's a respectfulness. Okay, if we're in a healthy relationship, there's a respect for the Holy Spirit. He is equal to God the Father and God the Son, Holy Spirit. They're all of the same essence. And there's a respect and a humbleness. You are God. You are God. But there's also a respectfulness in how we treat him, okay, because he's a person. There are some disrespectful ways recorded in the Bible how you can treat the Holy Spirit. You can lie to him. You can speak against him. You can quench him or stifle him. You can grieve him. So those are ways we don't want to treat the Holy Spirit. We want to treat him in a respectful way. We want to treat him well, okay? So respect. Another way is relating with him well, interacting with him, okay? For people that you have a healthy relationship with, you spend time with them, you talk and you listen. You talk and you listen. It's reciprocal, right? It's not lopsided. So go talk with the Holy Spirit. Go to bring him your life. Bring him things that are happening. Talk to him about it. Bring him your Bible. Like, I don't get this. Can you help me understand this? Like, talk to him. And he loves to interact with us in that way. So as we spend time and bring your questions. Ask him things. Bring your curiosity. Allow him to wash over and bring clarity to where you're at. Bring him your doubts. Bring him your fears. Bring him your skepticism. Bring all those things to him. Ask him. Talk to him. He will engage with you, okay? He will engage with you. And also listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. 99.9% of the time, his voice is internal. He can speak audibly, that has happened, as recorded, and I know people who have heard him, that does not happen very often. The Holy Spirit is usually an internal voice. And I know what you're gonna say. How do I distinguish if it's my voice or the Holy Spirit's voice? Because those are both internal voices, right? I'm gonna give you a hint. The Holy Spirit only talks in accordance with the character of God and the truths of God. So he only speaks to us like that Galatians list we had earlier. That's how he speaks to us. And he only speaks in alignment with God's words. So on the opposite, if you hear lies or condemnation or shame or guilt or critical nature over you in your head, that is not the Holy Spirit. Okay? And the more you talk with him and the more you listen, the more you register. That's him. That's him. Another analogy, if you all started talking right now and you put a blindfold on me and maybe bumble around through, I could find my husband. I could find my parents. I could find my kids. I could find my best friends as they're talking. Why? Because I know their voices. I know how they talk to me and I know what they sound like. I know their voice. So I encourage you, it takes time. But the more you talk and the more you listen, you're like, that's him. That's him. And you more and more quickly trust it and see it and you go with him, okay? And the third R is you respond to him. In healthy relationships, we take people's advice that we respect and we trust, right? And we go with those people. We're not just like, yeah, whatever, and you ghost them, right? Like, you respect the people that you're in healthy relationships with. The Holy Spirit, respond with him. When he shows you things, when he enlightens you, when he says, this is how I want to use your gifts, go with him. Go with him. Stay near him. Surrender to him. Be in obedience with him. It says in Galatians, keep in step with him. Let's walk with him. Let's walk near him. That is the way that you can be in a healthy response with the Holy Spirit. I love 2 Timothy 1:7. Which will be behind me. So it says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. May this be how we respond to the Holy Spirit. With his power and his love and self-discipline, he gives us, may we respond in that way. As we conclude our time together, And as the band comes forward, we're going to worship a little bit more. I just want to encourage us. God wants to show up, and he wants to show off in our lives. He has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us, in us, forever. And we get to have a relationship with him. He is our advocate. He is for us, and he engages us, and he empowers us. And we get to experience him more. Encourage us. May we surrender to him. May we seek him, and may we participate with him, that our faith may be bright and vibrant and colorful.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to attend a service, visit threecreekschurch.com.